Support for this podcast of The Exchange is brought to you by the Dagoba Group, a global diversity and inclusion consulting practice with specialties in unconscious bias, leadership dynamics, and client engagement. Authors of the book, The Inclusion Dividend. More at thedagobagroup.com.
And Northeast Credit Union, helping their members save money through free checking accounts and refinancing of auto, home, and personal loans. Northeast Credit Union, encouraging you to discover the difference at necu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, equal housing opportunity. And from Dartmouth Hitchcock. Imagine nationally ranked healthcare in your community. With convenient locations throughout northern New England, world-class providers are closer than you think. Visit DartmouthHitchcock.org to learn more. Dartmouth Hitchcock is here.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Over the past decade, agritourism has been an ever-expanding part of New Hampshire agriculture. As farmers seek new ways to make money and stay on their land, they're offering people that rural experience. Not just pick your own berries or apples, but petting zoos, farm-to-table restaurants, and offering scenic venues for weddings, conferences, and retreats. Of course, many of these activities are nothing new, but as they've grown, so have the number of conflicts with neighbors who don't like the traffic and late-night noise associated with some of these events. One such dispute concerning a tree farmer wanting to hold weddings on his land made it all the way to the state Supreme Court last year. The justices ruled that under New Hampshire law, weddings were not a permitted agricultural use, but they also said if the legislature had other ideas, it was welcome to rewrite the rules. And so that's what's happening this week in the state Senate, which is putting the finishing touches on a bill that aims to find a middle ground between supporting agritourism while allowing for local control. Today in The Exchange, defining agritourism and why how we define it matters, let's hear from you. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. We have three guests for the hour. Lorraine Merrill is here, Commissioner of the Department of Agriculture. Lorraine Merrill, nice to see you. Welcome back.
It's great to be here, Laura.
Also with us, Peter Wagner, owner of Applecrest Farm Orchard in Hampton Falls. And Peter Wagner, good to meet you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Also with us, Margaret Burns, staff attorney with the New Hampshire Municipal Association. And Margaret Burns, good to have you too. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, all of you, just to define agritourism first, because that's what this bill is about and that's what some of these disputes have been about. Peter, I want to turn to you first. You've been in this business for a long time. How do you define agritourism in terms of what you do day to day on your farm?
Well, the way I describe agritourism is that it's how a farm can sustain itself. And we basically have three goals. One is stewardship of the land. The other is economic profitability. And the third one is a certain quality of life for the farmer and for its neighbors. And to best understand where Applecrest stands in agritourism is maybe understand the history of Applecrest. We started with 500 acres back in early 1900s. We grew nothing but apple, and from our business model back then was to sell, harvest, pick and sell, and market apples wholesale to the Boston markets and to the New York markets.
And that was it.
And now we are going into agritourism because in the 80s and 90s, the apple market collapsed. We were successful until then, and we started losing money. And the only way we could sustain ourselves was to sell land. So we went from 500 acres to less – well, we sold 300 acres in house lots.
That's a lot.
Which is a lot of apples. I mean, a lot of land, too, and a lot of houses. So we had to change our economic model. And we started that in the 80s with pick-your-own programs. We had customers come in to sell and to pick apples, fruits, strawberries. Also, one of our major portions of agritourism is our education program. which is so important. You'd be surprised the number of kids and even adults who have never visited a farm before. They think they go to a supermarket and that's where the fruits are grown. And we have a huge school tour program where kids come, thousands of kids from Boston, north of Boston in the community, and they are really surprised. And we give them educational tours. We show them how apples are grown, how vegetables are grown, and they learn something. And that's a kind of partnership a farmer needs. And that's how you maintain open space, because if you don't appreciate where the farm and where food comes from, you don't care what happens to the land.
What about events, weddings, conferences? You've got a farm-to-table restaurant there.
Yeah. Our events, our festival program is what motivates everything. Every fall weekend, we have live music Saturday and Sunday, bluegrass music. We have horse rides, horse-drawn hay rides, tractor rides. And we have 15,000 people come on a typical Sunday. And these are guests from all over New England, Boston, south of Boston. We also have weddings. We also have adult conventions, business conventions, we also have our big retail store. We just built a brand-new barn retail store, 13,000 square feet, where we sell local fruits and vegetables. And we have a true farm-to-table restaurant.
It's big.
It's
an ever-expanding mission, and I want to bring Margaret and Commissioner Merrill into this, too. And Margaret Burns, you know, we're hearing Peter talk about the need to diversify. You can't make it selling apples anymore. And as he and other farmers have said, you know, take care of the land or you'll just see house lots popping up everywhere and you'll lose that rural feel. What are some of the issues that come up for towns when farms expand in this way? You know, music festivals, restaurants, conference centers, and so forth.
Well, Laura, municipalities really care about agriculture. I mean, the individuals who are involved in land use enforcement and local regulation, they care about New Hampshire. And when you care about New Hampshire, you care about the rural nature of New Hampshire, which includes the farming nature of New Hampshire. But obviously, these local individuals have to hear both from the farmers in town, but they're also accountable to the residents in the municipality. And so they really are seeking to find harmony between the different types of uses in the municipality. And when a farm perhaps expands in a way that could increase parking or traffic or bring in more people to a particular area than were there before, the municipality really just wants to make sure that it's all done in a safe way and in a way that's in keeping with, I think, the character of the area and takes into account health and safety for all people in the municipality.
And the original zoning laws of the town and whether new commercial uses fit with those.
Absolutely. And I think that's a big part of agritourism is that the neighbors see what is essentially a commercial use springing up in an area where there wasn't one or where typically a commercial use is not allowed or at the very least where a commercial use would go through some kind of site plan review or have some other kinds of regulations that it would have to follow. And so municipalities just want to make sure that those types of uses are regulated in a way like other uses that are similar to them.
Well, and Commissioner Merrill, you know, you've said that this is nothing new, really. Farmers looking to expand their business by doing more than just producing food. How so?
Well, it's really true, Laura. Farm families in New Hampshire were the founders of New Hampshire's tourism industry. Back in the 1800s, farms took in paying summer guests for holiday vacations, weekends, and fed them the farm-raised food and so forth. So we've really had this tradition as part of our farm economy and part of the our communities for a very long time. But it has changed a great deal over the years. And I think Peter's example is a great example because I remember when my family first moved to the Seacoast area when I was just a child back in the early 1960s. I remember going to Applecrest Orchard as it was then, and while it was indeed a large wholesale orchard, they did still also sell apples from the farm to retail customers, and it was considered a great, you know, a family day to outing to go and get apples at Applecrest. And I think that it's important perhaps in this new legislation, which has just been passed by both the Senate and the House, to recognize that the definition of agritourism has been placed squarely under the marketing section of the definition of agriculture, because just as Peter described, it is part of how products are marketed and how the enterprises can be diversified. It also, this new bill also includes reiteration of the fact that agritourism and other major, you know, major significant changes to farm operations may be made subject to whatever's applicable, special exception, building permits, other local approvals, for exactly the reasons that Margaret stated of public health and safety.
Well, since you mentioned the bill, Commissioner Merrill, let's talk now with State Senator David Booten. He's the sponsor of that legislation that you mentioned. He's a Republican senator from Hooksett. And Senator Booten, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Good morning, Laura. It's a pleasure to be with you. And let me just say hello to Margaret, Peter, and Commissioner Merrill.
Well, good to have you, Senator Booten. And just remind us how your bill tries to change the state definition of agritourism.
Well, Laura, can I just take one step back for a moment?
Sure.
And just tell you why we did what we did. So we had a court decision last June that said that involving a farmer in Henniker, and the court said that agritourism was not defined under agriculture in the statutes. And it also said that it's not an accessory use. I was alarmed by that decision, and I was very concerned about how it would impact the long-term economic survivability of our farms in the state of New Hampshire. And boy, it didn't take long, but here we are. You know, we have a situation going on in Guilford, which was again similar to what was happening in Henniker. So it was very important that we needed to address that concern. And so what I did is I put a roundtable group together. Commissioner Merrill was on it. We had local planners, regional planners, New Hampshire Planners Association. We had members of agriculture commissions, local agriculture commissions, New Hampshire Municipal Association, the Farm Bureau, on and on and on. And we spent all summer working on this. And what we said at the very outset of this effort was, you know, we wanted to, what did we want to achieve? We wanted to promote and enhance the long-term prospects for farms in New Hampshire that preserves our open space as well as important elements of our historic and iconic culture. And by the way, that would also include our habitat and our open space. But we also wanted to do it in a way that we were preserving local control. So that's how we got to the legislation that we have. And the other underlying or fundamental factor for us was, in 2013, the USDA said that in 1910, we had 27,000 farms in New Hampshire. 2013, we had 4,400.
Wow, it's a big drop.
And you know that, you know, Peter just mentioned about he had to sell 300 acres and they were all turned into house lots. Therein lies the challenge. I mean, yes, we do want new homes in the state of New Hampshire. Don't disagree with that. But I also want to make sure that we have the farms. And what's critical about this is that by expanding the activities that are allowable under this bill to bring families and their kids to the farm and participate in activities you get to make this connection. And Peter was exactly right. I mean, last September, when the season was over, I think it was only about 20% of the people in the state of New Hampshire bought produce and and fruit and other items at a farm. So if we don't develop and foster and promote that connection between people who live in the urban and suburban environments to the farmers that live in the country, and make sure that they understand, and that as kids grow up, they understand the importance in farming in New Hampshire, then who knows? Maybe in 10 years from now, we'll only have 3,000 farms. And then where do we go from there?
Well, Senator Booten, let me ask you a quick question, if I could, please,
yep.
about the bill itself. And I
yep.
hear you trying to strike a balance between enhancing the farms and, you know, caring deeply about their impact
yep.
on New Hampshire,
yep.
but also wanting to respect, you know, local municipalities. They've got their zoning rules. They've got neighbors
yep.
who don't want weddings every
right.
Saturday night in May, June, July, and
right.
they're not getting any sleep. So how do you try to strike that balance,
well,
especially with the weddings, because that involves, you know, music and late nights and drinking. And, you know, we have heard complaints in various
well,
towns.
Well, Laura, that's let me just say that I appreciate that question, although I think it's a little bit of an exaggeration. Let me just say this. We put in the bill specifically that there would be local control. What we did say, and so we actually made a linkage between the agriculture statutes and the planning and zoning statutes. And we said that towns can regulate this activity as they appropriately should, but they are not allowed to do an unreasonable interpretation or unreasonable regulation that would prohibit the activity of agritourism.
Who gets to define unreasonable? Because that seems subjective.
Well, you know, everything in our society is somewhat subjective, right? And a lot of those things get resolved in court. But I think that most, and I've served on planning boards for many, many years and on a zoning board, and I think that local people, once they understand where the guardrails are, will do that. And we specifically talk in there because I think Mary mentioned about parking. So we specifically put that in there, parking. And, in fact, when the bill had its final hearing in the House, the neighbors to the Guilford farm came to the hearing. And at the end of the day, they supported the legislation because they understood that they had were going to have a voice in what happened. So,
Senator Booten, I just want to jump in for a sec.
Yep.
We spoke earlier in preparing for the show with
yep.
Amy Manzelli. She is with the Northeast Organic Farming Association.
Yep.
She's a lawyer.
Yep.
Here she is talking about your bill. Let's hear how she's concerned that it might not resolve some of these issues. Let's hear, and then I definitely want your thoughts, Senator Booten.
Where there's confusion, and where there will continue to be confusion, is for specific activities. So the new law doesn't answer the question, can you have a wedding on a farm? Is that agritourism or is it not agritourism? And it's going to be, in legal terms, what we love to call a case-by-case determination. So planning boards, the Supreme Court, if it has to review the statute again, they're going to look at this on a case-by-case basis.
Senator Booten, what do you think? So
well,
this bill tries to clarify, but a lot of this is still going to have to be resolved on a case-by-case basis, as she says.
Well, actually, I would disagree with her characterization that it's confusion. Let me just say this. I went with Senator Feltz, we went and met with the Farm Bureau. And the farmers told us, if you're going to do this, don't make a list. Don't say you can do hayrides, you can do pumpkin festivals, you can do this or that activity. Because you know what, Laura? The fact of the matter is, that like all other parts of our life and the economy in the state of New Hampshire, it evolves from year to year. And the farmer said, if you put that list in, what if there's some new activity that makes sense that we should do? And then, oh, now we got to go back to the legislature to get it changed. So the farmers wanted it a broad definition that would allow for, and the towns have, and where I disagree with the recent person you had on is that the towns have the control. Let's say, for example, you want to have a wedding. They have total control about saying what, you know, like, well, you have to shut the music off at 9 o'clock. Most communities have noise ordinances anyways. You have to keep the cars parked off the street. And
Senator
you have
Booten,
to have
hold on
porta
one sec, if you could, please. I've got to head into a break, but I have one more question for you, please. So just hold on, and we will talk more in just a minute. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at the agritourism boom in New Hampshire and how it's led to conflict in some communities. We want you to call in. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And with us on the line is State Senator David Booten. He's a Republican from Hooksett. He's sponsor of legislation that we've been talking about that seeks to better define agritourism in support of farms. And Senator Booten, I did want to give you a chance to finish up there. You were saying that it doesn't make sense in a bill to specify, you know, weddings, yes, petting zoos, no.
Right.
You need to be open and flexible. And I did want to give you a chance to finish that up.
Well, that's what the farmers wanted, and I agree with them. And, you know, to leave that flexibility, because we want to make sure if we're going to encourage young people to get into farming, and you tell them that all you can do is sell corn, potatoes, and cucumbers, well, you know, you're not giving them much of an incentive to get into the business
it's
of
not
farming.
Enough.
And that's what we want to do. We want young people to be farms, because we want to. I don't want to see the number go down below 4,400 that we have now.
Senator Booten, where does your bill stand at this point?
It's passed the Senate, the House, a very, very slight modification of a couple words that we got left out in drafting. That's going to come back to the Senate for concurrence, and then it'll go to the governor's office.
And what's your sense of how the governor feels about it?
I have every reason to believe she's going to support it.
Okay. Senator Booten, thank you very much for your time.
All right, Laura. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That's State Senator David Booten, a Republican from Hooksett, and again, sponsor of legislation that seeks to better define agritourism. The exchange number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. How do we strike this balance between expanding operations on farms and the desires of neighbors nearby for quiet and not so much traffic? Again, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. You can always find us on Facebook or Twitter. And all of you, before we go to our listeners, I did want to get your thoughts on Senator Booten's efforts in the state legislature. Sounds like he convened a big group of folks, you know, trying to get everybody on the same page. And yet concerns Commissioner Merrill that, you know, lawsuits and disputes will continue because it's defined so broadly.
Well, you know, I think that the result of this legislative process is really outstanding. And it happened both on the House side and the Senate side. Many, many people involved, many organizations involved. And there is no black and white in life that I'm aware of that you have a simple solution to everything. Agritourism is a very broad category. Farming in New Hampshire is a very broad and diverse activity. And I don't think, you know, I don't think most people would say that every agritourism activity is appropriate for every site or location. And that's where, you know, where the flexibility and the local decision making and best judgment of the farmers working with their communities and their neighbors is critical.
Margaret, what do you think?
And I think what Senator Booten said about leaving in a lot of specific language that keeps municipalities having the ability to locally regulate agriculture and agritourism, he's absolutely correct about that. You know, it has not been forgotten that municipalities have an interest in their local zoning and their local regulation. And I think the language of the bill has really done a nice job of striking a balance between the needs of farmers to continue to expand, to continue to be creative, so that farms can continue to thrive, but also giving municipalities that continued local regulation, where there has been a lot of confusion, I think, about the extent to which municipalities can regulate agriculture, not just what the definition is or how agritourism plays into agriculture, but what can they do? What level of oversight or local regulation does apply? And I hope that that bill will help to alleviate some of that confusion.
Do you think it will?
I hope that it will. I think that it will to a strong extent. There's language in there that would require agritourism to be allowed wherever the primary use is agriculture. So that language is helpful. There's also, you know, within the including the definition of agritourism within the definition of agriculture obviously is huge, because that was what the Henniker-Forrester case gave us, was that it was not included within the definition. And now we have clarity about that. that these types of activities are a form of agriculture. And so I think we're going to see a lot of good come out of this new bill, but there's always going to be room for interpretation, and we're always going to find gaps that we're going to have to deal with as situations arise.
Well, and I want to get you in on this too, Pete, but another question for you, Margaret. This came up in our conversation with Senator Booten. Weddings in particular seem to be an issue for folks, whether it's Guilford, whether it's Henniker, whether it's some of these other conflicts that we've seen around this state. Why is that a particular issue?
Well, I think that you brought up a lot of the points that weddings can be issues. They're loud. They often go late into the night. There's alcohol involved. There's parking considerations. People come from a lot of different places. They're not familiar with the area. They're driving around. They've been drinking. They've been partying. And it really changes the landscape. It's a huge party that can suddenly spring up in a neighborhood that is very quiet and very rural. And so there are a lot of different concerns that come into play. And municipalities just want to make sure that, yes, the party can go on. And yes, the farm can do these things that help bring people to the farm and help support the farm. But also that the neighbors aren't constantly in this position where there are huge parties going on and there are other sort of side effects of that happening.
Yeah, I read one article where someone said, 18 to 20 weddings a year. That's a lot of really noisy, crowded weekends.
Absolutely.
And Pete, I can see you want to jump in, and you too, Commissioner Merrill. But go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I think the success of agritourism is going to depend on the local farmer himself. He has to form a partnership, and agritourism is a partnership between the neighbors, town officials, and the farmer. And it's going to take an educational process, I think, to the local farmer. The local farmer has got to understand that the town officials do have the responsibility is to protect and ensure the safety of its citizens. Secondly, the farmers got to understand that neighbors have a right to privacy. They have a right for peace and quiet. And the third concept that we use, or we try to use with our partnership with Hampton Falls, is that the degree of the success of the agritourism is going to depend on, does the town want open space? And what degree, at what level do they want open space? At what level do they want to maintain local farms?
So if they want that beautiful scenery and that open feeling,
absolutely,
they need to work
so
with you.
It's a trade-off between those three things. And we all have to form this relationship. And every decision I make at Applecrest, I take safety of the citizens and the neighbors into consideration.
So for an example, the bluegrass festivals that you host every fall, I think you said, that's another opportunity for noise, traffic. You mentioned all those people who come up from the Boston area, and I thought, ooh, if I was your neighbor, I'm not so sure how I'd feel about that weekend after weekend.
And that's the trade-off, because we have a policy. For first of all, we just purchased, because of the safety issue, we just purchased 10 acres of prime land for parking to get the cars off the road, ease the traffic concerns. So now we have three big parking lots because we have 15,000 people that we have to handle.
So that's your accommodation.
And that's our accommodation for the safety. We have ambulances. We have EMTs. We have police. So we're concerned about that. But on the other hand, the neighbors also have to understand there's a trade-off. Do they want the open space? We have a policy of inclusion. We allow our neighbors to walk the land, ride horses in the land, walk their dogs. We want them to participate in all the activities. Feel free to go in the orchard, watch things grow. And we have kids riding bicycles, and they're very respectful. They don't go into the crops. And it's a great relationship. I have to commend the town of Hampton Falls. They've been in the forefront of all this, and my neighbors have been absolutely great. And weddings are it's an issue. We try to take care of it. But you have to do it in a way that is good for everybody.
And the fact that you open up your land to, kids on their bikes or people cross-country skiing or whatever makes people feel a little calmer, gentler when you might have a festival or a wedding. I know you want to jump in, Commissioner Merrill.
Well, there are weddings and then there are weddings. And I think the whole issue of farm weddings, they're not all huge, loud, late, noisy parties. And we do have farms of all different types that are hosting weddings all across our state, and nobody hears about it. There's no conflict. There is no tension. So it's working well in many, many locations, and people are working together as farms and communities.
What makes it work well?
I think Peter addressed a lot of it. Sense of partnership, mutual respect and consideration on all sides. I mean, it's a basic human, how you get along, communicate with neighbors and local officials, let people know what you want to do with the farm. And I think there's a lot of support. I think the reason why agritourism has been growing so greatly and is so popular is because it's popular. People love it. People love the opportunity to get connected with the land, with the farms, with their source of food, and enjoy the outdoors and all of these opportunities that they don't have when they have a one-acre house lot.
That's Commissioner Lorraine Merrill. She's Commissioner of the Department of Agriculture. Also with us, Peter Wagner, owner of Applecrest Farm Orchard in Hampton Falls, and Margaret Burns, staff attorney with the New Hampshire Municipal Association. Join us as we talk about the growth of agritourism and some of the conflicts that have come up in some towns. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Peter, back to you real quick. Go ahead.
Yeah, and there's also one other factor here that we part of the equation, and that's the economic factor that we bring to the towns. We employ 175 people in peak season. We have 50 to 75 full-time employees year-round. We're the biggest tax base in the town of Hampton Falls. No question that there's an economic agriculture, and I'm sure Lorraine knows this, was the biggest industry in New Hampshire years ago. And it still can be, and agritourism is going to help that.
All right, and I want to bring another voice into our conversation. Nick Stoiko is with us. He's a reporter with the Concord Monitor. He's been covering that conflict in Henniker that has come up a couple times that was just resolved this week. And Nick Stoiko, thank you so much for helping us out. We appreciate it.
Morning, Laura. Thanks for having me on.
Well, as I said, you've been covering that case concerning agritourism in Henniker, which was just resolved, I believe, last night. Remind us, Nick, first, please, what the basic outlines of this dispute were.
Yeah, so basically you have Stephen Forrester is a farmer in Henniker. He has a big Christmas tree farm up on Mount Hunger Road, and there's across the street from his farm are some there are about 12 subdivided plots there that aren't developed except for one house, and the owner of those plots he had an issue with Steve Forrester hosting these weddings, and so when Mr. Forrester went and brought his site plan to the planning board to be approved so he could have these weddings, that's where kind of the dispute was last night in another meeting that I was covering. But the other interesting thing about it was, of course, and I know you guys have mentioned this already, Mr. Forrester, you know, had to take his case to the state Supreme Court last year and lost. Basically, the court interpreting that weddings in his case did not fall under agritourism. So this year he went back, put together a petition zoning ordinance on the ballot in March, and to redefine the definition of agritourism, and it was approved by voters to include on-farm weddings and a lot of other activities. So when he went to the planning board this year, they didn't see any reason not to approve his application. So they gave him the okay last night.
Wow, so that's interesting. So he lost before the state Supreme Court last year, then made an effort at town meeting, basically, to change the local ordinances, was successful there, and then last night went to the planning board. Talk about using various levels of government. Went to the planning board and said, here's my new plan. And by the way, here's the new rule in Henniker. How does this look to you guys? And they said, great.
Exactly. It's pretty, you know, the democratic way of getting something you want, I guess. But the other interesting part of that too is the town. They had their own ordinance, their own article they were trying to pass regarding this, where they were changing the adding certain aspects to scrutinize against one's site plan, including public safety, including you know, the character of the neighborhood, impacts on neighbors, preserving the environment. And they put his site plan up against those elements as well and passed it. So you also had these two new sets of rules kind of coming together, and it was going to be interesting to see how the board interpreted that and ended up working out in Mr. Forster's favor.
So who left the meeting feeling unhappy about this, Nick?
I think I will say I didn't get a chance to talk to him before everybody dispersed after the meeting. But the developer of the land across the street is named Stephen Bennett, and he was there to speak. You know, they're trying to develop that land, put some houses up there, and he's concerned with everything you guys were just talking about: noise, safety, views, and. I don't think he was too happy after last night's meeting, of course, because, you know, it ended up going Mr. Forrester's way. But, and you know, we could end up seeing this going back to court again if they decided to go that route, in which case this would continue. But I know for now, Mr. Forrester is planning on hosting some weddings, I believe, this summer now that he's been approved.
Wow. So the other gentleman you mentioned, Nick, is worried he won't be able to sell his houses if it's near a place that is known to have lots of traffic and noise on weekends. That's the concern.
Right. Yeah. One of the things they said last night was, you know, possible neighbors, possible buyers are going to come in and see a wedding tent across the street. They're going to be a lot less likely to buy that property. So obviously these developers are concerned that, this developer is concerned that the value of his land is just going to drop if Mr. Forrester keeps hosting weddings. And the noise was really the biggest concern that everyone was bringing up. That were against it. And it's music. It's obviously the voices carrying. And you know, Mr. Forrester said he's trying to stick with the noise ordinance of 11 o'clock, and he tries to cut the weddings, you know, before then. It's one of those things where, you know, it's hard to prove, I guess, unless, you know, you're there to hear it at 11 o'clock that he's going later than that. So it's kind of one of the gray areas. There's a lot of talk about gray areas with agritourism last night.
Yeah, and that's what we've been discovering this hour on the program as well, that there are a lot of gray areas and that people are still trying to figure it out, whether it's through the courts, whether it's through zoning disputes like the one you described, Nick, or whether through this new legislation. Nick, thank you very much for helping us out. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Nick Stoico, again, a reporter with the Concord Monitor, who was covering that conflict in Henniker over the tree farm that went to the state Supreme Court last year. And as we heard from Nick, that was resolved last night locally in Henniker. In just a moment, we'll talk some more. We'll take more of your questions and comments about agritourism, evolving definitions, what it means for communities. Let's hear from you. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll be right back. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at the agritourism boom in New Hampshire and how it's led to conflict in some communities as farmers seek to expand how they connect with the public. 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to join us. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Margaret Burns, Peter Wagner, Lorraine Merrill, let's go to our callers now. And Susan is in Contoocook. Hi, Susan. You're on The Exchange. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I live in Kentucky on Gould Hill Road, where there's an orchard. There's an orchard that's been here for forever.
Gould Hill Farm. I'm familiar with it. Yes.
Yes. And over the years since I've lived here, it has changed dramatically. The amount of traffic that comes up and down this road. The people that own the orchard now have more gone with this agritourism. It's not just for apples anymore. You come for ice cream. You come to buy gifts. He's planted Christmas trees to extend his season to make it more profitable for him. But the impact on the neighbors is tremendous. I get extremely annoyed and upset with the traffic when it's in season. Cars speed up and down this road. The town does nothing to keep people from parking on the street. If an ambulance had to get up this road, I don't know how it would get there. On a normal day, I'll go out and run. Maybe I'll see two or three cars pass me. When it's in season and the store is open, maybe 30 cars pass me.
You know, Susan, I've been in that area, and you're right. It's a tight, small road there, and there are a lot of people there on the weekends. How do you think that people who feel the way you do, concerned about traffic and safety, how could you guys sort of reach middle ground with Gould Hill? What would you like them to do?
I don't know, and I haven't reached out. I haven't posed this to the town. It's something that just boils inside of me. And, you know, I actually put my house in the market last fall.
Really? Because you got so tired of it.
I did. And I ended up taking my house off the market because the house that I was going to move into didn't quite work out. But
okay. Well, Susan, thank you for calling. And I'd love to hear from everybody on this, but maybe you first, Margaret.
Well, I would like to say that I have been part of that traffic that drives up to Gould Hill Farm. I do love that farm, and it has a beautiful landscape. But I think what she's explaining there are the exact examples that municipalities are concerned about when farms do expand or when they do bring in some kind of new use or new attraction that brings in more traffic. I think that what she's talking about is a perfect example. For those of us who have driven on that narrow road, there's really no shoulder. There's really no sidewalk.
People.
The parking is – there's a small area for parking. And when they have an event going on or when the Hopkinton Fair is going on and there are even more people in town, that is a big concern for municipalities. And so what she is explaining is the reason why I think it is so important to preserve local control and local oversight to try to do the best job possible to strike harmony between the agritourism that's necessary for the farm and then also for the other residents, because there are a lot of homes up in that area.
And it sounds like from what Senator Booten is proposing, municipalities will still have that control.
Absolutely.
What do you think about this call, Peter?
Well, I think it goes back to it being a partnership and also a trade-off. Obviously, everybody would like the serene and quietness of that beautiful hill, and I know that orchard very well. I knew the Leadbeaters. He and I were all growing friends. So I can understand both sides of the story. Again, it's a partnership. It's a trade-off. The Leadbeaters could have sold that very easily and made house lots out of it. So you sacrifice for maybe 2 months or 3 months of the busy season for the 9 months of tranquility that you would expect and that you would wish.
Do you want to jump in, Commissioner Merrill?
I think both Peter and Margaret are right, but this is much of what the wonderfulness of being close to agriculture is the enjoying the incredible views up there at Gould Hill and the orchards. But there is a cost, and it's I think it's important to remember that New Hampshire, farming in New Hampshire or New England as a region is about the most expensive in the country, some of the most challenging conditions. And so for farmers to survive, to make a living, to keep those orchards on those hillsides, to keep the fields that make our working landscape, it takes these other kinds of diversified income streams.
Let's take another call. And Kay joins us from Nashua. Hi, Kay. You're on The Exchange. Welcome. Kay, good morning. Are you there? All right, Kay, I hope you call back. Here's an email from Robert in Epsom. He says, if marriages become linked to farming, can holding marriages on one's property then be the basis for applying for current use, which is a favorable property tax status? This is an important point, and Commissioner Merrill, some of the folks who have been upset about the expansion of farm activities and the impact on communities have said, look, farmers already get a break from favorable taxation under current use. So I wonder what you think about Robert's comment.
I think it's really important to look at the actual language of the bill that says would make this change to the definition of agriculture. Marketing includes agritourism, which means attracting visitors to a farm to attend events and activities that are accessory uses to the primary farm operation, including but not limited to eating a meal, making overnight stays, enjoyment of the farm environment, education about farm operations, or active involvement in the activity of the farm. So if it's not a farm first, it's not agritourism.
Go ahead, Pete, and then, yeah.
And the definition of a farm in New Hampshire is that I think you have to receive 35% or 35% of the income you have to grow yourself. And that's a lot of income.
That's a definition. That's a farm stand.
There is a definition there. So to answer Robert's question, I have a nice backyard. I couldn't host a wedding and then say, now I'm a farm, now I'm agritourism, and please give me or text my property taxes. You know, on this issue of municipal finances, though, I did want to ask you, Margaret. We heard earlier from Concord Monitor reporter Nick Stoico talking about Henniker, and one of the gentlemen who left that meeting last night, unhappy about the decision allowing weddings on that tree farm, was somebody who owned land who wanted to develop houses and was afraid he now would have a harder time developing those houses and selling them because it would be next door to, well, a place where weddings take place. And I wonder what your thoughts are there.
Well, I think for any of us who have looked for a home before, who have been in the home buying market, we take into account the surroundings of the homes that we're looking at. And so it is possible that living across the street from a farm, whether it's because of a smell from the farm or whether it's because of late night loud events at a farm, could be something that would impact people either purchasing property or a developer developing and successfully selling those properties. But then again, there's also the possibility that living near or next to a farm with the open space and the beautiful views is a positive thing. So it's just there's a balancing act that needs to come into play. I mean, someone might not want to move next to a huge apartment building in the same way someone else might not want to live next to a giant farm.
Let's go back to our listeners. And Tom joins us from Concord. Hi, Tom. You're on The Exchange. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. This has been a really nice conversation on my way to the bank for the business. But my just to the point very quickly is that one of the last stories I heard about the developer with one house and being upset because there were weddings on the tree farm, I find there's a point there that if people coming in to the state come up here for the open space, the green space, the water, the clean air, the land, then they should be respecting that part of it. I do believe that the landowner, the farmer, should be doing everything possible to remediate any kind of problems, and as one of your guests had said, to be nice with the neighbors. That's great. But what I mean, if this developer, if he had his way, and then this farmer went out of business, and then had to sell the land, would this developer say, "Oh, wait, I got another piece of property I can buy"? He develops that. What about the houses he currently bought across the street or developed? And they said, hey, wait a second, we bought because there was a farm across the street. Would he then say, oh, listen, I don't care? I mean, I think that there's some respect should be given to the current owners of the property, the farmers in the state. And again, I think everybody should work together. But if they're coming up here just to build houses, put more wood and concrete and cut down the trees, I'm not for it.
Tom, thank you very much. And Peter, I think you're probably sitting over there saying hallelujah to that, right? That, you know, there's a benefit to keeping some of this space open.
Yeah, like I said, it's a trade-off for everybody. And I think it's been said before here, it's not perfect and it's not black and white. And everybody, I think Margaret said it, if you don't want to live next to the farm, you can live in town. And if you do want to live next to the farm, then you move to the farm. And in order to do that, you have to keep that farm going. And that's what you call sustainable agriculture. And the word sustainable has been used very loosely for a lot of things. But as far as I'm concerned, sustainable means economically profitable.
You know, we talked earlier about the idea, I think you mentioned this, Commissioner Merrill, that New Hampshire, New England, it's tough farming here. It's expensive. The land is expensive. And as we're hearing from all of you, you know, there's a lot of people packed into a small area. We talked earlier with attorney Amy Manzelli. Again, she's with the Northeast Organic Farming Association. She's a lawyer who looks at environmental and land use law. Here's Amy talking about New Hampshire actually has some unique aspects when it comes to these issues.
We do have historic farms, meaning operational farms that have been in the same location for many years, if not a couple centuries, where residential communities have developed around the farms. So that is very unusual in terms of the national landscape. Nationally, we have typically a higher degree of separation between residential uses and operational farms. That means more conflict here and a higher need for more proactive management.
Well, and we've been talking about the proactive management, some of the strategies that you guys have all mentioned, Peter and Margaret and Lorraine. What do you think about what she says, though, Commissioner Merrill, about, you know, we're all packed in pretty tight here and this stuff is just going to come up?
Well, that's a point I make frequently when I talk around the state. That's part of the charm of New Hampshire is our mixed-use landscape. And the fact that our farms are part of our communities, whether it's a big size city or town or very small rural areas. And it's both a blessing and a challenge. So we have, and the same thing with our population, is much greater in relation to the size of our agricultural industry. We produce a very small fraction of the food that is consumed by people in New Hampshire, yet having so many people in our communities close to our farms, that's our market. That's our marketing opportunity. That's why we see so many New Hampshire farms, far more than the national average, marketing directly to consumers. And again, consumers seem to like that. That's what you see, the great growing popularity of farm stands, farmers markets, CSAs, and all of those kinds of opportunities. So it's a double-edged sword.
Well, and on that double-edged sword, Commissioner Merrill, we've talked a lot about balance and trying to live nicely with the neighbors, but also appreciate the many benefits that farmers bring. What sounds okay to you and what doesn't sound okay? I mean, where does a farm's expansion into agritourism possibly cross the line? It's too much.
Well, that's a pretty hypothetical question, and I think it just is going to depend on the specific location, the specific farm, the situation. I think we see some pretty major growth and expansions of agritourism enterprises, such as Applecrest, that have been very successful and gone smoothly with their communities. And in other cases, smaller ones that maybe have had more rough patches. And it's often a matter of individual personalities.
Within a town. Well, here's an email from Jordan who says, we attend markets with Applecrest Farm and congrats on the evolution in restaurant. Jordan says, even in the midst of a booming local food movement, farmers and farms are evolving and diversifying toward agritourism just to survive. Why, he says, because our farm-raised food is being regulated out of viability under the guise of food safety, make it easier to actually sell our farm-grown products direct to consumer by not regulating them like industrial food or regulating them like drugs. So there's Jordan in support of local farms and local food, and especially your farm, Peter. Here's one from Sarah in Freedom who says, I think that we need to promote this type of activity and support farmers, but towns need to hold farms to the same standards they would for all small businesses. Parking adequacy, road use, safety considerations, etc. Sarah says, I think too often exemptions are granted for the farms when maybe the exemption needs to be reconsidered as the definition of farming changes. And Sarah, thank you for that email. And I guess I'll turn to you first, Margaret, on this. As farms grow, set up restaurants, convention centers, and so forth, should they be treated more like small businesses and less like agricultural establishments?
Well, I think that there are challenges that the various land use boards have to take into account, that farms have their own unique challenges that they have to, you know, face in order to expand the farm and to bring people to the farms. But the new bill and the language of the law, I think what it does is it really gives these land use boards the ability to not only take into account local zoning, but to take into account the specific needs of the farm. And so it's going to be challenging at times to decide what is an appropriate regulation to put the farm under and when is it an appropriate time to grant some kind of waiver. But as Pete has mentioned, you know, a level of relationship between the farm and the municipal officials to try to reach a good result and to try to strike harmony is really the best way to handle it. So I hope that that's what will result from this.
How much do you think that will be the result, that this bill will help reduce the level of conflict?
Well, you know, there's some very specific language in here that says that, you know, with regard to expansion, new establishments of agritourism, municipalities still have the ability to require land use approval, which would include site plan review, setbacks, building permits, things of that nature. So with that very specific language in there, I'm hoping that some of the confusion really will be quelled.
And Peter, I want to give you the last word here. What do you think about Sarah's comment that, you know, farms like yours are small businesses and should be treated that way?
Well, in our case, and I can only speak about Hampton Falls and the state, when we built our new restaurant, our new building, our retail store, we had to follow all the same building codes, all the safety codes of both the state, the town, and traffic. We had to meet the state and town's requirements for traffic. So in that case, I would take exception to that, to what Sarah said. The one area that is accepted is that most farms are in agricultural residential areas, zones. So where the exemption comes in is that we are allowed to sell and do things that other small businesses who are not farms can do.
Okay. And I will end it there. It's been great to talk to all of you. Thank you so much for being here. This is The Exchange on NHPR.